All right. So welcome to our celebration for 2026 for our senior guys and girls. We're pumped. We're proud of them. And I'm going to kick off our celebration with prayer and then invite AJ up, and he's going to spend a little time. AJ and Josie, respectively, and Harry, and then Kara, the second half of the year, were the respective small group leaders for the senior guys and the senior girls. And so we're just going to have AJ and Josie, who have been with them, following them for a long time throughout their time. They're going to introduce them as a whole, be able to talk a little bit about them and their time as leaders. And so it's going to be a little different, and that'll kick off each of them being able to speak. So you got a good treat with a video coming up too, so I'm excited. Let me pray, and then we'll keep rolling. Father, thank you for the time that we're getting to celebrate, a day of celebrations for mothers, for graduates, and I ask that you would be with them and guiding them, giving them wisdom, directing their steps, as in the Proverbs, as they go out after this year, some into work, some into college, into various different fields, and have various different things planned for them in their lives. Ask that you would establish their steps, that you would guide them, that you would continue to shed your love abroad in their heart through the Holy Spirit, and that they would be ultimately seeking to glorify you the rest of their lives. In Christ's name, amen. All right.
Everybody, as Seth said, I'm AJ Salmon, if you don't know me, and I've had the privilege of being a co-leader for this graduating class of senior guys since about halfway through their eighth grade year. And that is also the year that Pastor Scott decided to keep the leaders with the same group of students each year. So it used to work where you were a freshman guys leader, and then those guys graduated freshman year, and then the next group of eighth graders came in, and you were their leaders. And then when I started, we started moving with them. So I started in eighth grade, and I got to move up with them. And that really allowed Harry and I to form some really lasting and deep relationships with them over the past 5 years. This group of guys has been one of the most tangible and consistent blessings to me in my life. Honestly, outside of my marriage and my family, perhaps the greatest blessing over the past 5 years to me personally. This group of guys was a group of guys that showed up early to Rooted events. They stay late until every prayer request is prayed for. They encourage each other. They've grown in vulnerability, in accountability, in humility. And they've put up with me. They've put up with my challenging and sometimes very blunt lessons. They've put up with my flaws. They've forgiven me when I've needed forgiveness from them. So to you boys, to you men, I want to say two things. Firstly, thank you. Truly. Thank you very much. Each one of you I am grateful to. For different reasons, for beautifully different and specific reasons, each of you, thank you. I'm thankful to all of you. The second thing I want to say is, I'll preface it with saying, this is where a lot of people would say, congratulations, which I do, congratulations, and good luck with what comes next. Good luck. But as my dear brother-in-law, Ben Lauritsen, has taught me, has anyone had the displeasure of saying good luck in front of Ben Lauritsen? Does anybody know what he says? Luck is for pagans. Luck is for pagans. Christians do not need luck. Nor is there any such thing as luck. As random, purposeless chance deciding on the coin flips of your life. Luck is a pagan concept. It's a pagan idea that I actually challenge not just you graduating guys, but I challenge anyone in here to consider eradicating that from your speech. I'm not saying you are a pagan if you say good luck. I used it a lot until Ben Lauritsen was like, hey, luck is for pagans. And I was like, okay, it's kind of annoying, but it's true. luck is for pagans. So the second thing I say to you is not good luck. The second thing I say to you is Godspeed. Godspeed. May the God who knew you in your mother's womb and formed the heavens and the earth, may he blow strong winds into your sails that you would know him and pursue him and love him more and more all your life. Godspeed, gentlemen. All right, as Seth mentioned, we do have a short video that I made to commemorate just a few memories. I'm sorry, guys. I made this video for our group, just us, and I showed it to Seth, and Seth was like, oh, we should play that in front of the whole church, and I was like, okay. So you've all been warned. Seth wanted to play this. But one thing before we start the video, that's just a small thing that might not make sense. We had the privilege of being joined by a foreign exchange student last year. His name was Chico. His name is Chico. He's still alive. But he's alive in Egypt now. He had to go back. And Chico is an amazing young man. He's an Egyptian Christian. He's a Presbyterian Christian in Egypt. And he knew theological terms that I barely knew, and his first language is not English. It was amazing. He was just such a blessing to us, and he was super chill and super fun, and we all got to know him, and he came to Rooted, and we miss him dearly. So if at some point in this video you see a random Egyptian kid, he's not random. He's Chico. He's there on purpose. So that's the only small caveat, so you're not confused why he shows up. But all right, we can roll a video.
When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything worth losing. We stick together, see it through. 'Cause you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Now, some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am. Getting stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever
love you.
I solemnly extend my most profound and distinguished congratulations to my brothers from another color on the momentous occasion of their graduation from high school. I further convey my sincerest wishes for a life illuminated by brilliance, enriched with blessings, guided by purpose, and sustained by the ever-present grace of God. May your futures be adorned with success, wisdom, and enduring fulfillment. But even more, Sludge! Congratulations, boys, you made it. I'm so proud of you guys. Go conquer life.
If you are wondering why we spent time in that video drinking an ominous yellow liquid, it was apple juice for sure. And if you have questions about that, you can ask the boys. All right, Lincoln, I think we're going to everyone give Lincoln Rassi a round of applause. He's going to go first. We're going to have some students speak now. So thanks for your attention. And Lincoln Rassi.
Hello, my name is Lincoln Rassi, and I'm already shook because I was not ready to watch that video. And any questions about apple juice can be directed to Adrian Lindell in the blue polo. I wanted to start today with a passage that has meant a lot to me, and especially my journey throughout high school from Habakkuk 3. It says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places." Habakkuk writes this book right before the invasion of the Babylonians, and it's simply reminding the Israelites that even though life is about to be really, really hard, there's an ultimate joy and peace that we have in our Lord and Savior. I personally am reminded by this verse that on this earth, while there will be good times, there are also really difficult times. But God gives us a promise that He is constant, and by seeking the Lord and relying on His strength, He is all I will ever need. I had a hard time picking just one memory from ministry. I've had a lot, and these boys and leaders that I've spent time with have really meant a lot. But one set of memories that sticks out to me is just the Ascend camps that we've been able to go to and staying up late after the final game for the evening and just telling stories until we fall asleep. And then the next morning in the lunch line, trying to figure out where I fell asleep and having them retell the stories later. I've been so grateful for all of the years that I've been blessed to be a part of this ministry. Being able to spend time each week with my believing friends and leaders has done so much for my growth as a Christian. And I think the thing that I've been most grateful for if you couldn't have guessed by now, is probably the small group aspect of Wednesday nights. All of us students have been divided by age group, and our group has been the same for 5 years, and I've known these guys, a lot of them, for even longer. So being able to share life with them, confess, pray, and laugh with them has meant more to me than I can even express. I wouldn't be the man I am today without their friendship and help for my whole time in this ministry. So I also wanted to extend my gratitude to all of you for all of the support that you've given, for all of the care packages and the prayers that you've given us for ministry. It means so much to us, and it truly has been life-changing. My current plan for the next 4 years is to attend Bradley University and get a mechanical engineering degree with a concentration in biomedical engineering. And I hope to just get that degree and continue to be able to use it to serve the Lord. Thank you for your time.
All right, my name is Keegan Myers. I go to Eureka High School. Probably one of my favorite verses is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, this is my favorite verse because throughout sports, a lot of the activities I've done, I have felt weak, you know, oh, I can't do this, I'm not capable. But I remember, you know, this verse, it gives me strength and it keeps me going even through the really hard times. Probably one of my favorite memories, again, is like Lincoln said, you know, the things we do at Ascend Camp. You know, we have many different conversations throughout at night, in the morning, whether they're serious or they're just funny. I mean, we have lots of stories that I won't tell, but, you know, you get the picture. Thing I'm most thankful for, again, is my small group. You know, it has helped me grow so much in my faith. The small group nights, the long conversations we've had, you know, the leaders for our senior guys have been amazing. AJ and Harry have helped me and the rest of our group a lot and very much, and it's been a huge blessing. I'm going to be attending Missouri Baptist University, playing baseball and studying sports management. Thank you.
Morning. I'd like to add on to Lincoln's statement from before. Technically, the apple juice questions could also be directed to Lincoln after round two. So, I've been so blessed to be here at Newcastle. The hospitality with me joining here on the workforce and coming here on Sundays and Wednesdays has been an immense blessing, and I cannot understate that at all. I've noted, going to college, leaving home, leaving my family and my friends is not nearly as difficult as leaving Newcastle. I can call my friends, I can call my family, and home is not stationary. But Newcastle, it's hard. We were down in Greenville, Illinois, where I plan to go to college, looking for a church, and somehow that was harder than looking for a college. But it's just been a great time. Rooted Student Ministries, as Lincoln mentioned, just an incredible experience for me. It is not an understatement to say that I probably would not be standing here today without the support of these gentlemen, especially Harry and AJ, helped me through just a lot of difficulty, and I have come out the other side absolutely renewed by the grace of the Lord. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave his life for me. And I couldn't put it any better. It is along the same lines as 1 Peter 5:10. It says, after you've suffered a little while, the Lord your God will renew you. And once again, that's exactly what happened. All right, praise be to the Lord. But rooted has been such a significant portion of my life. Came around the same time as high school, which was significant in the other direction, right? So they kind of canceled each other out, which was nice. But we've worked through a lot together. We've asked a lot of hard questions. We've worked through a lot of personal struggles and a lot of struggles that we share in common. And there are still hard questions, like, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? Like, there are some questions that we're not going to get the answers to, but we've worked together through a lot, and it is inconceivable what we've been able to do with one another. And I could not possibly ask for a better group of guys, number one, but a better group of leaders, AJ and Harry and all the rooted leaders, Nick and Seth, Jimmy, Jamar. It's just been so amazing, and I would definitely not be the same man without any of them. So thank you.
All right, I'm Adrian Lindell. If you don't recognize me, that's because I don't come here on Sundays. I go to Pekin Bible Church, but I've been part of Rooted for the past 6 years now, since I was in junior high. I'm homeschooled, but this past year I've been at ICC taking dual enrollment classes. One of my favorite verses is Luke 9:23, where Jesus tells us to take up our cross daily and follow him. I really like this verse because kind of a two-part. One, it tells us we're never done walking with Jesus. We can't just sit back and enjoy life without him. But also, the flip side of that is that then he's never done with us. He's always sanctifying us and growing us to be more like him. As far as stories, I was having trouble thinking of one. There weren't many I wanted to share up here. And then AJ kind of went and shared them all anyway. Yeah, I don't know. There's been a lot of good memories. I don't know that there's one I can pick out as the best. One memory that is pretty good is eating pizza that AJ bought us for drinking an undisclosed yellow liquid. So that was a pretty good reward afterward. How Rooted has helped me grow. Just as a man, growing in godliness, kind of two parts to that. First, from the teaching of all the people, AJ, Scott, Seth, all the other leaders who have taken turns teaching lessons for Rooted, but then also just through the friends and brothers in Christ who hold me accountable and are watching out for my growth. So I'm going to be going to the Air Force Academy in June. So it's like the Air Force pays me to go to college there, so I won't actually know my career till I get out in 4 years. But yeah, I'm going to be leaving for that in June.
I am not Avon. I am Josie Salmon, married to AJ. It's so fun listening to all of these stories and just recognizing that there is such a difference between guys and girls, especially in high school. But yeah, I've been one of the rooted leaders with these girls since they were in eighth grade as well. Majority of that time, my co-leader was Bella Glick, who in the last several months stepped away to have her sweet baby girl. And since then, the second semester, Kara has joined me, and we are so excited to celebrate with you all and with these girls. But just wanted to say that Avin, Adeline, Josie, and Natalie have been such an encouragement in my life, and I can only pray that we have been the same for them. But thanks be to God that he has softened their hearts to his word, and that we've experienced that with them, and they fear the Lord, and they're learning to delight in his commandments, which is such a joy to see. And aside from going through discussion questions after Wednesday night lessons, our time recently has been spent reading a book called Purity is Possible by Helen Thorne. And they often share prayer requests, and oftentimes those prayer requests, I'd say probably 50% of the time, the prayer requests are, Lord, please help me not drown in all of my schoolwork because, quote, senioritis is real. I'm also incredibly grateful for the time that we spent praying scripture, mostly recently. Oftentimes that was scripture from the lesson that we had that evening. And towards the end of the school year, it was really hard and few and far between to have all four of them at the same time. It wasn't very often. However, they still found ways to encourage one another and be encouraged by each other, whether that was through going to their biweekly Bible studies that they have with Kaylin. Kaylin has been so sacrificial to go to each town. I think it's like a couple times a week in order to cover all three of them, to have Bible studies with these girls. And anyways, they've been so encouraging to each other through that. And they have also shared many stories of witnessing to classmates, which has been so cool. And then they just set an example of what it looks like to suffer well, which is hard to find, I feel like, in high school students. Oftentimes it comes with complaining, but these girls will just share such real stories about what's going on in their lives and just how the Lord is working in them. But we'll miss our Wednesday evenings with these girls, but again, we're so excited that you get to move past this and close one chapter and open the next. So with that, Avin, if you would come up here.
Good morning. My name is Avin Hilt, and I'm going to be graduating from Morton High School next Sunday. A verse that has stuck with me through the past couple years is Colossians 3:17, which reads, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This has just been a reminder that I should constantly be living for Christ and not for myself, and trying to reflect him in everything that I do. After the 6 years I've spent in Rooted Student Ministries, I can gladly say that, of course, some of my favorite memories come from the summer and the winter camps that we've attended. Being able to hear sermons from the amazing pastors and play the crazy games that we do became the highlight of my years in junior high and high school. But aside from the wild times, I've also loved the times in Rooted, where we could have the serious conversations on Wednesday nights and grow closer to God together. What made all the difference was the role models that the youth group leaders were there for. They were always there to support us and give us godly advice. Being able to build relationships with them was an opportunity that I'll always be grateful for. In the fall, I plan on going to Olivet Nazarene University to study architecture and interior design. I've also played the violin since I was in sixth grade, so I'll be joining the Olivet Orchestra so that I can continue playing. I'm excited for the next part of my life, and I can't wait to see what God has planned for me. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Adeline Holman, and I'm graduating from Morton High School. It was difficult to pick a favorite verse, as I have so many, but I've held particularly close to this one in this season of life. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." It's such a good reminder of where my joy comes from, and that joy is a deep satisfaction despite the circumstance. It also reminds me that no matter the trial or tribulation, the Lord has his hand in it, and we are to consider it all joy and rejoice in him. I'm so thankful for Newcastle and their youth ministry. Rooted has encouraged and challenged me in so many ways these past 6 years. It's crazy to me that this season of life is already coming to an end. I have so enjoyed summer and winter retreats, and especially worship night at Ascend Camp. One thing that I will miss dearly about Rooted is our small group time, as I hold that time and those girls really close to my heart. I would definitely appreciate prayer for direction from the Lord, as I'm not sure where I'm headed after high school. As of now, I plan on taking a gap year, but that could definitely change. That's it. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Josie Delagrange. I go to Roanoke Benson High School. One of my favorite Bible verses that's really special to me is Psalms 34, 7 through 8. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. This verse has been really special to me because it's helped me through hard times just to remember to take refuge in Jesus, even and that God is good despite our circumstances. I have so many great memories from Awana and youth groups throughout the years, but some of my favorites are definitely from church camps. In the summer, we go to Ascend Camp, and then in the winter, we have camps that our church organizes and runs, and both of those camps have been so much fun. I love going to these camps because it's always a great time hanging out with friends and playing games that are sometimes life-threatening, but they're still fun. Yeah, and then I also just love going to church camps because of the biblical teaching that we receive there. It's always just so encouraging, the teaching and everything. And I love getting to be saturated in God's word for a week. I'm very thankful to all of the leaders and that I've had throughout the years in student ministry, small group leaders, Josie, Bella, Kara, and all the other ones I've had in previous years, and also from Bible study, and Kaylin, thank you so much for all that you have done. They've just helped me build a stronger relationship with Jesus and strengthen my foundation in my faith and learn more about honoring God with my life. My current plans for the future are undecided, but as of now, I'm planning to take a gap year and just to hopefully better understand what God has planned for my life.
Good morning. My name is Natalie Otto, and I will be graduating from Eureka High School. My favorite Bible verse is Psalms 32:7, which says, "You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance." I love this Bible verse because it reminds me of the goodness of God and how when we face trials, we should run to Christ, not the things of this world. We can have peace and joy even in hardships. God never forgets us, and we have such an amazing hope and reassurance in his deliverance. A favorite memory from my time in Rooted would be last year at our annual winter retreat. We were walking back from a chapel session, and little to our knowledge, the concrete had a very slick sheet of ice over it. I watched as two people in front of me slipped on the ice and fell, and then I turned around to warn others that it was slick, and then fell myself. We definitely all had a pretty good laugh about it, and I definitely don't think the three of us were the only ones to fall that night. I'm super thankful for all the amazing leaders at Rooted and for my small group, who have all supported me in my walk with Christ. God has mercifully brought me through many trials in my life, but even if I didn't realize it then, he has used them to change me and grow in my relationship with him, and I'm so thankful for the support of my church family. I was born with spina bifida, which has resulted in over 30 procedures and surgeries throughout my life. However, even though these surgeries scared me at times, I felt comforted knowing that God was with me. I'm so thankful for the people in our church family that have walked beside me throughout my life, and I can't even express how much it has meant to me. Having been shown such great compassion from our church has given me an even greater desire to show compassion towards others and trials they may be facing. Next fall, I plan on attending Baylor University in Waco, Texas, to study international studies with minors in computer science and Russian on the pre-law track. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, guys. That was incredible. And one thing, I don't know if you guys caught it, is just beautiful to hear. I think probably six of them, not that the other two don't believe this, but six out of the eight, I think we're talking about whatever comes our way, trials, anything, we hope in the Lord and we have a deep satisfaction in Him. That's huge. I mean, if you get that and you have that with the rest of your life, you're not going to fall away from the faith. So that is a great, great foundation. Thank you to the leaders as well. That's another thing you heard. I mean, good grief. This is sweet work being done, and it's a team effort, and it is just really cool to see. I even loved in the video, and I had forgot, I've seen the video like two or three times, but I had forgot that all of a sudden it switches, and then AJ's baptized, and it's like, what in the world? This is just getting me. So this is beautiful, right? We put in the time discipling. This is the benefit we get a lot because God loves to work that way. But I want to wrap up with a little bit of a charge. I'm not very good at these collapsible type things, the sermons. Jamar keeps telling me about collapsible sermons, but I haven't learned, so now I got to go quick. there was no collapse built in, so we're just going to go quick and maybe cut some things off, period. But if you have your Bibles, if you don't, you'll be able to hear it. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20 is where the charge is going to come this morning. It's really for all of us. Obviously, it's for the seniors, but it's really for all of us as well. So I hear some pages, and then I'll give you a second, then we'll read that. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And so I included the verse 18 because it gives us the context, flee from sexual immorality. But we need to make no mistake that what Paul is saying here is not limited to sexual immoralities. This is not going to be a little lesson on sexual immorality. These truths that we're reading are universally true for every facet of our lives. What is true in regard to sexual immorality is also true in regard to eating, drinking, working, serving, speaking, praying. Namely, that in all of these areas of our life, the three truths that are universally here are, one, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Two, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. And three, therefore, only conclusion, glorify God in your body. And so Paul's argument is not exclusive here to sexual immorality. It's true in regard to every area, every facet of our life, every goal that we have or come up with, an ambition that we could think of, discipline, and whatever job we work. So I find these three truths to be an incredible weapon to have memorized, and not because I came up with them. I'm just taking the points from Scripture, so you can memorize Scripture is what I'm saying. But they're like guardrails, these truths, that will keep you guys on a narrow, on the narrow and hard path that does lead to life. So if you can call to mind day after day, right, as some of you choose your major, because, right, maybe you won't go to school, and that's okay, or you interview for jobs, or you take the field to play baseball. I know Keegan's doing that. As you date, right, who you date, how you treat the person that you date, as you think about engagement and marriage, as you arrive to church year after year to serve throughout your life, as you open your Bibles for devotional time, if you can call to mind all those things, that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not your own, you were bought with a price, that the only conclusion is therefore glorify God in all things, then you'll be able to set up completely to follow Jesus faithfully for the rest of your life. And so as you well know, and as the seniors have heard various leaders say over the course of the time in Rooted, Christianity is not a weekend religion, right? This is not a Wednesday, Sunday activity or club that we're a part of, and it's not a morning devotional that then leads into I live however I want afterwards. Rather, as many have said, I didn't come up with this, it's all of Christ for all of life. So my challenge to you is simply to memorize verses 19 through 20 here. But for our time this morning, I'm going to break it down just briefly on the three different points. So one, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but right afterwards it says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. So if you are in the Spirit because of your faith in Jesus, and we've seen a testimony of that, then your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you. And God is not just taking you and all your goodness, who had a, you know, a relatively good path of life before, and he's just making it better, right? He's taking an empty vessel, life who could not please God, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, and he's filled that empty vessel with his Spirit. So he's taken someone who produced hostility and enmity and rebirthed that person. Our bodies are a place of God's Spirit to dwell, the temple. This is why we can grieve the Spirit through our actions and words and decisions and longings. So we need to be informed by God's Word there. That leads us right into truth number two that Paul logically follows. You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. So two things here. He's established that we're a temple, a dwelling place of God's Spirit. So how are you going to make friends with darkness? One of the questions. With loving money, with loving sexual pleasure or shameful gain, right? And now you were bought with a price, Christ's blood, because we were dead and we needed complete redemption. And so everything in our life that you would have done, right, apart from Christ, all of you seniors, if you would have gone out here apart from Christ, and if you try to go out here in any way apart from Christ, and all that you would accomplish before, apart from knowing Jesus and serving him there, would amount to dishonoring God and an ultimate meaninglessness or vanity, right? You could have flown to the moon. You could still venture to float to the moon. I mean, we got some crazy majors that I could never study. You could venture to do something like that, right? You could be like a Thomas Edison or a Steve Jobs, but ultimately, the reality is every advance that we make as a civilization apart from Christ does not amount to a hill of beans. So even the most important individual, a Thomas Edison, who makes a great impact on the world and advancing the world, it means nothing the moment Christ returns, because the value in advancing a civilization and working hard in provision, in your schooling, in your jobs, some of you going straight into jobs, the value in any of that, in raising a family, is glorifying God by making his name known and becoming more like Jesus. Because your body's a temple of the Spirit and you're not your own. You're on his mission now. Think about it. God didn't need computers to be created before what he said is going to happen in his word is going to happen. He's going to dissolve the heavens and the earth and have a new heavens and earth when Jesus returns for us to dwell in. He didn't need computers to be created before that happened. Now he did. He's sovereign. I'm not sovereign. He wanted to do that. But he didn't need the wheel. God could have brought the world back to him before the wheel. It's like, oh, whoa, okay. He didn't need light bulbs. He didn't need the television. He didn't need AI, telephones, right? That means it's not the accomplishment. It's not the advancing in and of itself. It's not the technology. It's not what you study in and of itself that inherently brings God the glory. It's you. It's you as the temple of God's Spirit. You and I who bring him glory through the way we live and speak, create and advance and venture. So you're not your own. You are God's. How does the one who owns you call you to live? That's the natural question. What does he ask you to be, to pursue? And you've learned a lot about that throughout your time at Newcastle so far. This is one of the timeliest truths for you now, though, because at this point in our culture, and you know it well, our schools, I think Vinny made a joke about it, right? The counteracting work of the school and the church. Unfortunately, didn't used to be so. But at this point now, our institutions and workplaces and culture at large, overall, are telling you the opposite. They're telling you that you are your own. So you live for yourself, you think for yourself, you make choices that benefit you, and don't limit how that might look because it would limit your happiness, which means then your lifestyle choices are endless, your sexuality has a lot of different options, money still makes endless promises, and even entire careers are built now that are actually contrary to the fabric of God's design. So it doesn't even matter, right? I had a Christian friend up here last weekend. He's talking about how his boss is always sitting right next to him while he's on the sales calls, telling him to lie to lock in the sale. And he always has to, no, like what is going on? But entire careers are being shaped and fashioned by you own yourself. Bend the truth to get you what you want. Use your body to advance your worldly pleasures. Let no one control you. But this passage speaks a better word. It's entirely to the opposite to the fact that we own ourselves, because we do not. So seniors, you are not your own. Remember that. That is one of the biggest ways to unlock the fact that you can be sacrificial. If you don't, I'm not my own and I don't live for myself, instantly the door is more wide open to how can I serve? How can I glorify God? If you live like you're own yourself, then I can only tell you, I can be sure of one thing, that you will be dishonoring to God and disobeying Him in so many ways. That's the only reality of living like we own ourselves. So where does that leave us? Leaves us at Paul's third logical point, the way he concludes the passage. Third, glorify God in your body. How might you glorify God in your body? This is a question we have before us. And ultimately, if we were to summarize it, the primary would be making Christ known through word and deed, the gospel and discipleship, and becoming more like Jesus, more holy, more sanctified. But that'd be like a summary that has to spread out into all of our lives. So I want to break it down little bit by little bit. And here's where I personally feel like these are some of the points. I didn't even count them. I was just writing them. Some of the points that I think you would do well to take with you as you go. So one starts with the immediate context, purity. As one pastor wrote, we don't flee sexual immorality because we're afraid that we might get caught. We flee sexual immorality because we have been bought. We glorify God, immediate to the passage, through our purity. And we magnify His good design and His wisdom through abstaining from sexual immorality before marriage and as we're married, and adultery during marriage. And if you don't, you're taking God's temple and you're violating it, right? You're forming it with, in our text it literally says, joining it to a body of darkness, right? To someone who's under Satan's power. Or even if you did this with a believer before the covenant of marriage, we well know that that would be desecrating God's temple because you're not under covenant. So seek purity and don't overestimate your strength to withstand temptation. That's what we see all the time. I'm sure every mature Christian in here would be able to be like, yeah, that we even overestimate our own strength to withstand temptation. I hope we learn not to flirt with temptation, because we don't need to learn the hard way. Solomon was writing the book of Proverbs to his son because he learned the hard way, but it wasn't an implication of Proverbs that his son was going to have to go through all the same things to learn. It was that he was going to be able to take the wisdom and avoid all those mistakes. So do you have to find out for yourself? 20 years from now, if you burn images and experiences into your mind, they will not be gone. Do you have to find out for yourself? I hope not. And college will present more opportunities for that. And if you haven't heard this yet, this is just maybe a hobby horse, so I'll be quick. Stop dating unbelievers. Good grief. And stop, and I'm not talking just specifically to you, but this is just the general at large, and you can get tempted with this. Stop dating people that you think are like on the fence. Like, what? Do you have access into the book of life that God has written? No. So don't Christian evangelize date. It's not happening. Like, that is just crazy. And then the fact is that a lot of you are the oldest in your families, and then you're setting a terrible example. It's like, oh yeah, look, my older sister did it. She dated that unbeliever, and he became a Christian. So I can too. And now you got five siblings following you into dating unbelievers. And it's so clear in Scripture, we're called not to date unbelievers. So knock that off. You're gonna ruin your family. So it's just terrible. Goodness. I hope none of you are going to do that. I'm sure of better things. But, you know, teach the friends you meet at college not to do that. All right. How else will you glorify God? I actually wanted to say more on that. I'm not going to. You have spiritual gifts and callings, right? Use them. Become a faithful member of your church, a solid Bible-believing, Jesus-exalting church. So many students, and you guys have already done it, right? Many of you have already picked colleges. Now you got to find a solid church. Maybe in the future in life, pick the town with a solid Bible-believing church and then look at the job board. Maybe reverse the order. And then get involved in that church and use your spiritual gifts, because others can benefit from that. God's Son did not come to serve, but to serve. And you're His disciple. How else? By nurturing the fruit of the Spirit in you with all integrity and sincerity. And I'm going to point out that even integrity and sincerity and genuineness are something that is lacking in our young people overall as a culture. So let yes be yes in Corinthians, and let your no be no. Because flaky living is selfish living. Learn to follow through on your promises, on your word. How else? Simple obedience, right? That and all that God commands through giving and sacrifice, which we talked about this year. I want us to think about how we can start now to give our money as you earn it, right? You're going to start working, some of you very soon. Give now, because you'll be setting up a spiritual habit that even if you start making six or seven figures, you're going to be a generous giver. If not, you'll get unexpectedly blessed with a high salary, possibly, and you'll spend it selfishly. So John Piper, in his book titled Desiring God, helpfully points out something that we just talked about at small group last week. A six-figure income does not mean you need to live a six-figure lifestyle. It's like, whoa, that's revolutionary, you know? Live below your means and give. And next, we're trying to build up to some of the most important. Share the gospel and make disciples. This is the best use of your time, right? You can do that anywhere. You can do that everywhere. It's the most rewarding use of your time. Ask the leaders right now how rewarding it is to see the testimonies that you just gave, right? It's very, very, very rewarding. And if they got to replace it with anything else, AJ himself said it, might be one of the best things. I think he said apart from your marriage. I think he did. You know, I think I heard that. It might be one of the best things in the last 5 years. So do the same. You're all sitting here as someone who has had the gospel shared to them, hopefully in your families and also other church members, and have been discipled by more than one person. So do the same. Get about that work. It will be super rewarding. Like Paul in 1 Thessalonians 2, he's speaking to the believers that he had helped convert and then discipled. And he says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and our joy." This is one of the greatest works ever. The people that you now get to evangelize to and disciple will be your glory and joy as they come to know the Lord and grow deeper in Him. Share the gospel, make disciples. This glorifies God as His primary work, this side of the new heavens and new earth. And finally, there's so many other things we could do to glorify God. Read His word and pray daily, right? This is how we keep our bearings. We've talked about this endlessly in Rooted. I'm sure you've heard about it endlessly. This is the grace He gives us, one of the graces He gives us to hold us fast. And so when you remember this passage, that you're not your own, you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body, and you think, how else could I better be glorifying God? Your answer is Scripture. It's always Scripture, like Psalm 119, 33, and 34. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and obey it with my whole heart." What is His will? What am I going to do? How am I going to better glorify Him? Go to His word. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for our time this morning. What a sweet testimony, from tears to just joyful smiles on people's faces. This has been a sweet time, and we are proud of them. We are excited. We're praying that you would take them and use them mightily for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, that is the conclusion.